Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good God. Yeah, well, there we go. Another week, another weird week. Weirder than the week before. Everybody seems to have died, you know. It's like, I mean, on my personal level, like, it was Bowie, Alan Rickman, and my father-in-law. On other people's levels, it was Lemmy, Bowie, and Rickman. You know, everything comes in threes. People have had at least three deaths this week, on a personal or global level. You know, it's lots of people moving on. Lots of changes. And I was chatting about that with Cindy on the last show, about changes, that things change every 4.5 minutes. So often we have a time where we're not experiencing the best of times. And really, all you have to do is wait 4.5 minutes. Try it next time. You're thinking, God, this thing's going to last forever. This feeling's going to last forever. Yeah, prove me wrong. See if you can make a feeling last more than 4.5 minutes. Anyway, Vanessa, do you want to call in and we'll talk about this? Yeah, I know. It's easier said than done. So you have to start in places. So I just want to, like, let's get into the discussion. Kind of just started in the chat room, in that Vanessa was saying, you know, how does one open up and to be able to receive intuitive things? So first of all, oh my God, my tea is cold. That's horrible. Hang on,
I've got a candle over there.
Yeah, I have to go and get one of those candles. Ah, so, and then I drop the candle on the floor as I pick it up. There we go. So, intuition. What is intuition, first of all? As far as the esoteric teachings are concerned, the narrative of the esoteric teachings is that the intuition is the voice of the soul, and that after a while, when you get used to that, there are other other fellows that join in. But at the same time, you have your own personal elemental, the person. All right, let's put it another way. You know, everybody's saying, oh yes, we're a human having a... No, we're not a human having a spiritual experience. We're a spirit having a human experience. But what does that mean? Is that the human is a being. It's an elemental being. It's got a brain, but as far as being any kind of carrier for any high spirit, for instance, like Mr. Bowie, in order for that to happen, it has to be connected. It's like, the way I see it is like, you know, your human body is like an RV. It's, you know, you've got a place to sleep at the back, and you've got these lights, and you've got maybe a little TV. It's got a power system. It's got monitors. It's got a thermometer, tells you how cold it is outside. Stuff like that. Essentially, it can show you the environment outside of the RV, from the safety of the inside of the RV, especially if you I'm thinking of the one that from that Robert De Niro had in Meet the Fockers, Meet the Family. But you know, but essentially we have an RV. You know, you're driving your car and it's got sensors that tell you how fast you're going along the road. You wouldn't know unless you were kind of dragging your feet behind the car. You'd know it was more than 30 miles an hour. There is a view screen that allows you to see outside. You're shielded from certain things like the wind inside a vehicle. So inside the human body, there is a spirit that is driving that, and that spirit is a very delicate, very, you know, it's not able to move much 3D matter, let's put it that way. It can move maybe air or liquid matter. By the way, did you see the guy walking in the clouds? Wow. To us, he's a guy walking in the clouds. To him, we're subterraneans who are moving around in a dense substance. But yeah. Oh, you're going to start coughing. Everybody's coughing. Yes, everybody has to get vitamin D3, by the way. D3, that's what it's about. This is stuff that they all get, all the elites have got. It's really cheap, cheap as chips, and you can get it very easily. Because it's a natural product, it's like, you know, you can't really patent it. Well, it's extracted from lanolin. Great stuff. Vitamin D3, 5,000 IUs a day. Until you're better. And then take 5,000 IUs a day. And you'll never get ill again. You'll never have flus and colds and things. You just, like, be immortal. Anyhow, where was I? So, yes, talking of immortal. So there's the spiritual being who drives around your physical being, and this being is like... you know, like a horse. A horse is an intelligent being, and it's in service to the rider. I mean, it's often broken. It's often, you know, the will has kind of been trained out of it, but which is what we call mind control. But let's just skip that one, shall we? But the relationship that we have with the physical body can be like that. You know, do we command our body to do things, or do we work together? Do we all want to, you know, everybody wants to run up the hill. Horse wants to run somewhere, and I want to go up the hill. So, great, let's go up the hill. Okay, let's go. I want to run. Yeah, on you go. So, likewise, with your physical body, there are things that your physical body has a tendency to want to do. And those are known as your physical body characteristics or your personal characteristics. You know, like, I don't like to get up early in the morning, and I like to stay up late, and, you know, I like to drink tea, and, you know, all these little things, characteristics that we have. That's what we've been calling recently the body elemental. And one of the things is that most of the time that body elemental is kind of trained by the brain or the mind, the higher mind, to do things. And often the mind has been mind-controlled. Yes, that's the problem. And so our mind-controlled mind trains our physical body to do things. And those are the habits that we have that when we start to notice them, we can then start to get a handle on who we are and what we've lost and how we can get it back. Which brings us back to what is intuition. Intuition are the little words. Well, it's different for everybody how it manifests, but usually it manifests. For me, I get a word. You know, it's like this bloody kosh in Babylon 5. Who says one word at a time. You know, you talk a paragraph to it and it'll just say, yes. You know, stuff like that. Usually in a derisory fashion. But the intuition, it draws your notice. That's how you get it. It draws your attention to something. And so, to use Rebecca's phrase, you notice what you notice. Because you find yourself noticing things, okay? You can't help it. And even women will be caught by a flash of cleavage, you know. I don't know. It seems universal. It's like fart jokes. They're universal as well. Everybody laughs at fart jokes. But the intuition, it, because our logical mind is so controlling, because it's been controlled, so it becomes controlling, that our intuition really has to be pretty smart in order to slip in the cracks, because it's only in the cracks of the logical narrative, it's only in the mistakes where the light comes through. Does that make sense? It's in what you think are mistakes, or what we used to call Freudian slips. You often say the right thing, but your body elemental is speaking the truth, but your brain is is trying to dictate the way that the conversation is supposed to be going. It's what we call a Freudian slip. Your body elemental is a bit like a retard, you know. I don't know if you're allowed to say retard, but you know that they're very direct. There's no kind of higher. They're not full of guile. It's like, oh, they're so lovely, you know. They have no guile. They're not trying to mess you up. How sweet. Anywho, so you notice what you notice. And when you start noticing what you notice that things are starting to occur in patterns. And this is what you start to recognize as what I call the fractal omniverse, which is that the same pattern will occur on multiple levels. Usually you get three, just to show you, you know. But in the same way, you know, we have, what do you call it? Cicada, grasshopper, cricket, locust. You know, they're all the same thing. They're different scales. So, like you get a planetary system. And you got a solar system, you know. Things that have satellites. Yes. So, coming back to the subject of what I'm trying to do, I think what we're all trying to do is live an intuitive life. But at the same time, you have to have intelligence. You can't just numbly go blindly being intuitive all over the place. Because, you know, it will trip you up and it will throw you a sly one that will trap you because you're not using your critical thought. You just get lazy. You know, it's one thing to live an intuitive life, but it's another one to be mentally lazy and not actually go through the cogital process of creating something from scratch, you know. For instance, you know, you might think, I know how to do that. But it's actually, once you actually start to do something and start to cut the materials and work with the materials and solder or glue or however you stick the things together or sew them, you know, whatever it's going to be, you have to use your mind to construct it. First, you know, you construct the pattern in your mind. So if you understand how to make the pattern, then how to make the thing out of the pattern, you're getting an idea of how thoughts manifest into reality. You see, there's a process, and it starts with the thought and ends with the thing. And that can also take us into the avenue of that thoughts are things that manifest through us. There's another thing. But anyway, that's wild. That's... yeah, it's a point. There is a point, yes, as Gabrielle is saying, is that you learn to recognize how the intuition feels, how it feels to be connected to it. And really, if you connect as much as you can to your intuition, you will find yourself evolving, because that's what evolution is. Honestly, you know, it's basically infusing yourself with the soul. That's the next step in evolution. Soul evolution is infusing into physical matter and extending out from the, like, maybe the kind of little spark of a soul that is existing in your physical body to being like a whole electrical highway up and down your nervous system, your meridian system, connecting in with the ley lines of the earth. That's what I'm talking about. That's what happens when you start pulling at the thread of the intuition. Because the intuition is your soul. It has nothing but your best interests at heart. It loves you more than you could imagine. And as you learn to trust it, well, that's when you start to change. That's when things around you change. Because you become empowered. And if you're empowered, you don't need to complain about anything anymore, do you? You just change it. You know, I don't like that. Well, stop doing it. Okay. Oh, what a good idea. Never thought of that. So, the cure out of our problem. The problem is polarity. Negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive. Instead of being a square wave clicking from one to the other, we smoothly flow from one to the other. We smoothly flow from our left brain to our right brain. And back again. And back again, nice and slow, like a boat rocking. And that's how we get back into our vibration. Because our flow, you can't walk with one foot, can you? And if you're really in the flow of walking, you rock very slightly from side to side, and it eases the flow of the forward motion. Because you're walking then in a sine wave, the most fluid of motions, the flattened spiral. Anyway, yeah, I will wax. So it's interesting that the Portuguese word for sway is balançado. So the idea of balance is not that it sits in the middle. The idea of balance is that it swings from side to side gracefully in its time, in its cycle. Maybe 4.5 minutes. Maybe it's a 9-minute long full cycle and it swings from left to right in 9 minutes. I'll have to try that. I have to check that out. Welcome back from the pub. You're from Newcastle, aren't you? Yeah, Geordie, you should call in. I'll read your raise. Yeah, anybody, call in. I'll read your raise. Wolf Spirit Radio on Skype or 0141-356-4141 in the UK and 775-773-3431. I think they're great numbers. I think they're much more easy to remember than any other station's numbers. Anyway. Exactly. Thank you, Gabrielle. That flow back and forth between the hemispheres reminds me of the infinity symbol and the yin yang or the Tao symbol. And if you look at the Tao symbol, the what we call yin yang, is actually, it's like frozen in time. It's like a still shot of a movie, and it's actually spinning round. And if you see that, and then you imagine that as a snapshot of an extrusion, as it cascades back into time, you'll see that it's a twisted spiral, like a twisted pair of cable. Huh. Meanwhile, back to microelectronics. Yes. So, I've been doing some research on trauma and the release from trauma. Is something that I've been, as you know, is one of my sort of people have hobbies. People sew, you know. People collect stamps, you know. Model trains. No, I investigate trauma. All right. Anyway, so in that investigation, I discovered there's a thing by a lady called Dr. Shapiro, who is in Toronto, I believe, and. She basically discovered that if you cause the person to shift from the left hemisphere to the right hemisphere gracefully and gently and slowly, then they can go through a traumatic episode without experiencing deep trauma from it again. And so essentially what she's talking about is that there's a very long cycle, and it's I think the cycle is around 17 seconds. I think I measured it. It's around 17 seconds. Flowing from side to side as a full wave. And the effect of that, it's very much like being in a narrow boat. You know, when you're sleeping, you go for a canal boat holiday. And the narrowboat very gently rocks from side to side. And indeed, you know, we used to put our babies. Don't we rock babies anymore? We used to put babies in rockers, didn't we? You know, all of us when we were children, our parents rocked us from side to side to calm us down. There's this doctor. you know, he's got the dubious task of injecting babies. You know, giving them sort of vaccinations and stuff. You know, just regular doctor, pediatrician. And I saw a video of him. And these babies, they jag them, and, you know, it's horrible, and they're howling. And he picks them up, and he jiggles their bottom. And in about 10 seconds, they're like, hey, copy, hey. They're happy again. They're back to their vibration. So when people rock you from side to side, you know, it kickstarts a vibration if you've locked it. Yes. Indeed. Exactly. You know, when you want to give somebody a hug, you sway slowly from side to side like a slow dance. So, yeah. Our intuition communicates with us in many different ways. And as an adult, we tend to forget that some of the things that we do have those origins. Whoops. Something fell down there. I don't know what happened there. Yes, you're fortunate when you have cranial sacral treatment. You can experience that rocking, unfolding. Very awesome. Yeah, so we sway, and we sway to please ourselves, to bring ourselves into a pleasant vibration. I was just thinking it would be good to have a clock on the page, on the listen page. We're gonna think about that. Listening to your intuition. Now, here's a thing. When you wake up in the morning,
you're in this space and you're not quite awake and you're not quite asleep, and the last edge of that dream is just kind of slipping away. That's what's happening there, is your brain is slowly rising in frequency, and so it's like the old motor kind of coming up to speed. In that moment, your intuition is open, and often something at that point is given to us that stays with us all day. You know, haven't you ever woken up from a dream, like a real humdinger of a dream, with just that last image echoing, just looping in your mind for the whole day? It's telling you something, you know. Actually, here's another way of looking at an intuition. So you know how when somebody says, oh, I had a dream and this happened, and I picked up a golden apple and, you know, threw it at Cupid, and Cupid sent his arrow and took it down. Anyway, some bizarre dream. Just sorry, very random, never had it. When you look at that dream, you see the symbolism of the dream, and you say, oh, well, what does an apple mean to you? Well, I hate Apple, you know, because I've got a broken computer, and, you know. Anyway, all of the things in the dream, all the things are symbols, and the symbols have a meaning to you in your life. Now, if you could look at your own dramas, the things that happen to you in your apparent real, in quotes, life, illusion of, as a dream, what would it mean? What would your life mean? What would your daily life mean if you had that in a dream? Just let that sink in for a while. You know, if you were having dramas, if you have dramas in your life, you know, look at a drama that you might have in your life. If you'd like, you can call in and we can discuss it as if that drama was a dream. Because, I tell you, it is. That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. So, if you would like to call in and continue this conversation, maybe even take it into a different direction, but certainly I'd like to discuss the idea. The theme is intuition and developing not only a connection with it, not only to make it clearer, to actually make it a way of life, because your intuition is the real you. Your intuition is the voice of your soul, and the nature of the soul is love. So if you listen to your intuition, it will always be to your benefit. Now, here's the thing. Notice what you notice when you go to the supermarket. How many times have you gone to the supermarket? You walk past the cheese counter. You don't normally buy cheese, but your eye is drawn to soft cheese, you know. And then you can either ignore it, or you can kind of backtrack and say, hang on a second, soft cheese. I don't normally buy soft cheese, but, you know, why did I notice that? Perhaps I should get some. So you put it in the basket, and that afternoon, a friend of yours comes over and they say, oh, I've got these fantastic little jar of hot peppers, and we really need, have you got any soft cheese? And that's what I'm talking about. That's an example of intuition. intuition is connected with the collective consciousness. Your soul is part of the collective consciousness. Your soul is one with all other souls. So if you speak to your soul, you're speaking to all the other souls. It's a collective. That's why it's so wise. However, sometimes collectives don't know what it's like down here. It's risky to listen to your intuition, because it makes you do things that you can't explain in the moment. I think that I've been doing it for a long, long time. One of the things that when I was a kid, I used to go to school, and I didn't particularly like school, so I used to bring things that were like distractions. So there was one, you know, I would always have something in my pockets, and sometimes it would connect with a theme, you know. And I think I still do it to this day. You know, I'll go to a shop, and I'll be drawn to buy something. You know, like maybe not necessarily cream cheese, but. You know, cream cheese is a random example. It never happened, okay? It's just a random example. It would be a particular size of bolt or something. Like, you know, whatever it is that you're drawn to, that's what I'm trying to emphasize, is that if you find yourself drawn to something that you're not normally drawn to, that's usually a sign that your intuition is cutting in. So that it's telling you something that you might need to pay attention to. So when you get to the feeling, when you get to feel the feeling, oh, I know, all right, I know this noticing thing. I have noticed myself noticing, and I noticed that when I notice things that I notice, things turn out to be good. Things work out really well, really cool, in fact. I have great meetings. Stuff happens. So as we were saying, it's not always a voice. It's not I mean, as I said, I get these words, you know, I just get a word. Enigmatic. They're really enigmatic. A word. Thank you so much. Yeah, just like one word. And it doesn't make sense sometimes for a couple of days, and then boom. But yeah, for instance, today the word was, or yesterday the word was perspective. Word of the day. Perspective. Everybody's got a different perspective, and it's okay. You don't have to agree that you're both seeing the truth. You can see that you both have a different perspective on the truth, and that's fine, and we'll stay there, and we don't have to carry the argument any further towards bloodshed. Thank you very much. Perspective save lives. So your pets. cute. So yeah, do call in. I can't see any call-ins yet. Where was that? Intuition and how to find yourself being intuitive. Yeah. And here I am, you know, I'm an old, fat, bald, white bloke telling women how to be intuitive. Right, okay. But anyway, further than that. No, because, you know, I kind of pride myself on my listening to my intuition, my intuitive side. You know, some women, totally, you know, discount and disregard a man having intuition. No, you couldn't possibly have your intuition. You're a man. No, I think we all have intuition. We all have a soul. The rays are the energy frequency bands of the soul.
Craig.
Anyway, so listening, feeling. Okay, so sensations. You may receive a certain sensation, a certain particular sensation. Usually
it's not at all pleasant at first. You know, it's like a stabbing pain in the back right of your head. You know, can you turn that down a bit, boys? Okay, thank you. Yeah, that sort of thing. Oh dear. Craig. Male intuition is sexy. Well, there you go. That's it. Come on, let's find Craig's intuition. But the thing is, it's about being able to be logical and intuitive and logical and intuitive, all in a nice dance that everybody's always getting a share of everything. You know, I like to be logical too. As you know, I do a lot of logical work with computer logic and logicality, logistics. Sometimes in my logical work, troubleshooting has to happen because things go wrong, and they often go wrong because of lack of consistency of spelling and typing and things like that. And one aspect of my intuition I've discovered they call dyslexia these days. But I've spoken about this before, but I used to be able to look at the code, the computer code that people were writing in, and my mind would be drawn again. My attention is drawn to a spot, and I didn't know how to write computer programs, but obviously some part of my higher self did, because it would draw my attention to that place, and I would point to that place, and I say, "What's that?" I had no idea what I was talking about. I say, "What's that?" And then the guy would look at it, and they would go, "Oh, wow, yeah, that's exactly. Oh, I see what. Yeah, thank you." And they think I was incredibly wise, but it was just I would see a disturbance in the force, really, and it would like. You know, people say dyslexic people, they see a word and like all the words kind of, all the letters kind of all dance around and jumble up and play. I kind of get that when there's a bad spelling, when a letter is badly spelled or syntax is incorrect. Some part of my higher self is a sort of galactic editor or something, I don't know. It's like galactic proofreader. Uh-huh. So there you go. So again, there's Vanessa. Now, Vanessa says, I have dyslexia in spades. In spakes, yes, indeed. So it turns out that, as I said, that dyslexia is potentially a communication from inside of you. What Nancy says that dyslexia is you've got two things going on, you've got more than one thing going on. That's why it's difficult for them to find a focus. It's like there's a whole tribe of people doing stuff, and somebody saying, "I need to speak to the chief here," and there's no chief. Everybody's doing their own thing. There's no chief. Self-organizing collective, as things used to be. It's imposing a particular mindset on every organization, you see, to imply that they should have a chief. Why should a group have a chief? Who says? Yeah. Yes. So, yes, the wave, everything's a wave. Everything's a sine wave, and it rocks from side to side like a boat. And if you're healthy, your internal fluids are doing the same thing. They're rocking up and down, and they're going from side to side. There's all these fluids that are moving in your body.
And when you're traumatized, or when you've been, when you're traumatized, the certain parts of the body freeze, either physical parts or emotional parts. And that's where the issues start to come in. That's when you start getting ill and things like that. It could be. Because, you know, one of the things about... Craig is saying, I sometimes see arrows going in the wrong direction like this. You know, confusing your left from your right, that's a common form, you know. It's a kind of... It's an equivalent of... what you also have to remember is that your eyes are seeing things upside down and back to front. You know, if you were to take a pinhole camera, that's what happens. But your brain is able to compensate and kind of turn things around, and also fill in detail. It'll fill in textures for you. You could swear that you're looking at a stucco texture, but when you go close to it, you see that it's in the form of swirls, or patterns, or straight stripes, or stars, or something. But from a distance, it looked like a plain stucco. Your brain has filled it in. Your brain thinks it knows what's going on, so it just says, well, last time I was there, well, that sort of house has a stucco, so that's a stucco. And then when you go closer, you go, oh, wow, I didn't see that. That's because your eyes were not... Well, your eyes were telling you something, but your brain fills in most of it. You can't follow dance steps. Let's dance. Yes.
All right. Yes. Like Craig moving to the phone. Oh, somebody's calling my telephone. How bizarre. Why are you doing that? Somebody sent me a message. How strange. I heard that familiar dit, which is, you know, not what you want to hear in the middle of a show. Don't call me don't call me at the office, Dale. Yeah. So, the next thing. You're asking about telepathy. How do you open up? So once you've got your intuition. Now, here's the thing. It's a bit like when you got a dirty window in an old shed, and you want to tidy up the shed, and you go to the window and you get a piece of cloth and you rub a little hole in the dust, and you can see out for the first time. You know, the light has come into the shed for the first time in years. If you keep working at that, if you keep making bigger and bigger circles, you see a bigger and bigger vista. And so the more attention you place a thing on, a thing on a frequency, on a memory, or whatever you do, the more focus you place there, the more that that thing becomes real. The more detail you get, the more information you receive. And so, like every musical instrument, you have to practice it in order to get good. You have to practice it a lot to get really good, and you have to practice it loads and loads and loads to be brilliant. That's all. That's just it. That's the fact of life. You know, if you want to be good at something, you have to practice. Now, whether you do this in this life or a previous life, so you can come in kind of preloaded, that's good. That's good if you can do that. But you still need to practice, you know, because you might be able to think you can play your symphony, but until your fingers can play the symphony, you can't play the symphony. Until you can play the symphony without your brain getting in the way and saying, oh, hang on a second, what was I doing last week? Have I paid the gas bill? You know, you don't get musicians doing that. Yeah, fully focused. No other thoughts. Full meditation. So, the more energy you put into something, the more you can kind of exist at that frequency. And when you start existing at that frequency and living a more intuitive life, then
you start receiving messages on other channels. So let's talk about other channels. Many other channels there are. So first of all, I was talking before, there is one channel which is the notice what you notice channel. Your attention is drawn somewhere. So practice it. Let it happen. You know, I'll have to address doubt in a minute, because that's the killer. And that's the difference between you and a psychic. If you're not psychic, the difference between you and a psychic is doubt. That's it. Living from inside, living from the heart, is risky. Listening to your intuition, which essentially comes from listening to your heart, is very risky. Living as a living spirit on the planet, 100% fully conscious, or, you know, aspiring to that, is very, very, very risky. Not a lot of people do it, you know. And are usually publicly humiliated and executed, you know, generally, so far. We're trying to do something about that. We'll be right back. We'll be back to you on that. Yeah, exactly. Intuition. It's like a muscle. After a while, practice, and it's just there. Thank you, Debrielle. And can I repeat what, Lyra? If you'd like to call in, 775-773-3431. So I'm just having a look through the chat room, and since I have no one else here, get the heaven out of it. So yeah, living from the inside, it's what you have to do, because the heart is like a fountain. You know, heart is not a pump. There's so many things that we've been lied about. The heart is not a pump. Lub-lub imposes a frequency. The heart can change frequency. It's unusual. Most other organs more or less do their thing at the same old frequency, but the heart can change its frequency drastically. Sometimes you get a pulsing in your heart. Listen to what you're doing at the time. Perhaps what you're doing requires just a little bit extra energy. And that's what's happening. It's just filling you up with a bit of charge. Because the thing that you're doing at that time is necessary for you to do. It's like, here's a moment where you have to master the situation. And your heart is beating to give you the necessary energy and fill you up to, like, make you more rigid, like filling up a car tire much higher. You know, makes it much more rigid and strong inside, you know, able to resist outer pressure. When you're under pressure, you need internal pressure to keep up. Otherwise you collapse like a can, or like a deep sea diver. Deep sea divers have to have a suit that can press out as hard as the water is pressing in, at several tons. And the heart, as you say, has a brain. Oh, 1-4-1-3-5-6-4-1-4-1. That's my number.
from the UK, from Newcastle to Glasgow. Come on, Manny. But it's good anyway, so it's fine if you don't want to call in. But if you do want to call in, please call in. We'd love to hear you, mate. And so yeah. Once you start exercising the intuition, noticing what you notice, another stage you can go is you can take a blank piece of paper or a blank Word document. Try and be alone so you can get a clear thing. And then, well, what I did, I just typed the word hello and waited. And almost immediately I hear hello back, and so I type that down. And then I start asking questions, and I start getting answers. You ask a question, you wait, you listen, and for me, a feeling bubbles up, and that feeling kind of bloops up and becomes a bunch of words that I then type down. And it's... I can do it almost like I'm listening to dictation, or I can just, you know, express the feeling. It just comes out. So that's what I call my conversations with God thing, which is a reflection of Neil Donald Walsh, because that's what he did. So essentially, you then start listening to your intuition. Ah, an American call. Greetings. Who might that be? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello. There you are. Area code 417. You're live on the air.
Yeah. How are you today, JP?
I'm well. Who's that?
My name is Lisa.
Lisa. Are you Lyra?
No.
No? You're Lisa. Okay. Have you called in before, Lisa?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. And so what would you like to talk about?
Well, I just found it interesting that you were... It was like you were talking to me. I came in on the on your show. You'd been on for a bit, I guess maybe 10 minutes or so, but you were talking about a dream or something, and I just happened to have this two strange ones. I don't normally dream, and last night I just had a very quick, but it was someone, I don't know, a person just sitting there, and it was like I hugged them and told them, I think I told them I didn't have much time. In other words, I didn't have much time left, I guess, on this earth, is the way I took it. And that was about it. I mean, you know, it was just kind of it's kind of been bothering me today. It's like, oh, that was some kind of a prophetic dream. So I don't know, but you were talking about the intuition thing and the dream and how we're supposed to listen to this type of thing, and I just found it interesting. I'm not sure what it meant, but also it was kind of, I don't know, not like it was a bright sunny day or anything like that. It was kind of dark in there, and I couldn't see the person. I don't know who they were, but perhaps it was someone familiar to me, so perhaps it was my higher self. I don't know. But it was interesting.
Well, okay, so the thing in dreams, the thing about the meaning of dreams is the feeling inside the dream. You know, you can describe the this and that, but the main thing you described was that you hugged this person.
Is the what?
The main thing that you described, the you know, the most significant thing is that you gave, that person gave you a hug?
Yes.
Tell me about that hug. Go into that. Breathe into the feeling of that hug.
Well, it was it was, what's the word? It was a definite, it was all hinged on the, I don't have much time left. And so it was a very sincere, I can't think of what the word I want, when something is pertinent, you know, when it's important. I don't know, it just...
Urgency?
It was,
is the word urgency?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm, urgent, that's it.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And... was that person saying to you that they didn't have much time left to communicate with you, or that you don't have much time left to do?
I think it was me. It was me, and you know, it was me, and it was me embracing them and telling them that, you know, and that was just it. That's all that was said, you know. But then it was like. So I don't know. I sort of had a feeling now today. It was like, well, now, does that mean I'm going to be reunited with that person? Or, you know, was that my higher self? Or was that, you know, because I couldn't see the person. And in fact, it just, I don't know. It just was a different experience. And the funny thing, that the night before, I had a dream also that was, I don't know. It was sort of mixed up, but rather brief. And
just tell us about the dream. Just tell us about the second,
okay.
the day before.
Okay,
that.
So I was, I don't know. I was in a. It's like it's okay. I'm on.
Oxygen. Sweetheart, don't judge it. Don't judge the dream. Just tell the dream as it was.
Okay. Well, I'm on oxygen, and so apparently it's like somebody was. Holding me hostage for my oxygen. Of course, that's what I use to breathe. So, I think I'm in a car with a woman of some sort, and so I get out of the car and I go into this house, and I've got a, I think the reason I went in there was to get some cash. I thought, well, wherever we were going, I was going to need a little bit of cash. I didn't have much, but I went in there to get it, and I was in this old person. I was reaching in there. Well, there was just more cash and more cash. It was kind of strange because I was thinking there was like about $12 in there, and I kept, all of a sudden I had this big wad of cash, and it's like, well, now I can't put this in my pocket because they're going to know that I have it, you know. So then next thing I know, I go out and I'm going to go to get back in this car, and the car is gone. The person's gone, and now... and they've got my oxygen, and I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, what am I going to do now? So somehow I find this person, and I know it was a woman, and this is very strange, but in order, I knew I needed that oxygen, and in order to get it, I just literally kind of beat her up pretty good so that I could steal it away and get out of there. And, I mean, I'm not that kind of person, so it was really an odd thing for me, and that's really about all I remember about it. So, you know, it had to do, obviously, it had to do with being able to stay alive, I guess. And I just found it odd that those were two nights in a row, and then the next night I have this other dream that I said to whoever this person was, I don't have much time left. And, you know, so I think the two were obviously related, but you know, I don't know what they meant, but I just think it's, as I was listening to you talk, it was like you were talking about, and then you started speaking about the heart speeding up when you needed, more, to get a little more wherewithal on the inside. I don't know how else to put it, but I don't know. It all just sort of fit in and made sense to me. So I don't know. I thought, well, I guess I'll just have to call in and see what JP thinks.
Okay, Lisa. So first of all, it's often known about in dreams that if you see another person in a dream, that, you know, it's your own inner construction. There's no other people that you can draw on. They're actually, you know, that other person is you. Which is why you never see their face, because you'd see your own face, which would freak you out. Okay.
Well, the funny thing that you say that, because this has been maybe a month or so ago, I almost was going to send you a message and tell you this, because it was quite strange. I had a dream, and it had Paul McCartney and John Lennon both in it. So this was, I don't know, it was just very brief. I can't even remember much of it, but I can't really tell you that I saw their face, but I know they were there, and that's who was there. So anyway, go on. I just had to throw that in.
So you've just seen their face. You can't forget the time or place where you just met.
Sorry,
just a Beatles lyric joke there. Anyway, so...
Oh.
So, anyway, meanwhile, so there's a woman in the car. She sends you inside, and what I find interesting is that you go in there and you expect to have a small amount of money, and so tell me about the feeling that you were getting when you were reaching in and you were pulling out more and more money. What was the feeling that you were having?
Well, I was thinking, gosh, I didn't know there was this much money in here.
But it was my purse. That was what you were thinking. What were you feeling?
Mm-hmm. Oh, feeling. Mm-hmm.
Hang on, just a minute. I know it's hard for you, but if you can, take as deep a breath in take a hit of oxygen and breathe into that feeling, because I tell you what's happening is you've got a thought that is masking the feeling. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so try that. So you're in this dream and you've got the money and you're trying to. Did you have a purse you didn't have a receptacle wallet or anything to take the money out, did you?
No, and it was funny because it was loose in there, and this was an old purse that I used to have, and it was small, and you know, so why I was just going to take it on my person, and then I thought, well, I can't put this in my pocket, and then of course that was. Maybe, is guilt a feeling?
It certainly is, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I don't know if it was guilt, but it may have been. No, I think it was fear. Is that a feeling?
Certainly.
Okay, because I was, like I said, I thought, well, I can't put this in my pocket because, and it's like I didn't really realize that this person in the car was holding me hostage until, I don't know, I guess that possibly occurred to me after I awoke, as I looked back on it.
Okay.
That makes any sense.
Okay, so so the scenario is that you're unaware that the person that you're with is actually not has not actually got your highest highest interest at heart.
Exactly.
And then, so why are you sent in to get the money? Because it was it your money? Did you say, you know, I can't remember the first part of the scenario.
I guess I just figured we were going to need it wherever we were going, you know. We were going to need it, so I knew when I went in there that there wasn't much in it, and this purse was just sitting on the counter, and it did belong to me because this was a purse I used to have, and so anyway, I mean, but I remember thinking, oh my, this is a big wad of money, and I can't put all this in my pocket because that's gonna, you know, I guess I probably had blue jeans on, so it's like, okay. That won't work, and I don't even know what I did with the money. Next thing I know, I'm looking outside, and that car is gone. It was like sitting down by the curb, and it was gone, and then I don't know how I found the car, but, and I don't actually remember, you know, I can't really say I remember beating the person up, but I know that's what I did. I had to do that to get my oxygen.
Okay, so look, let's just take a little break here, because this is getting quite intense here. There's some brilliant songs. I wish I could play them all. This is one of my favorites from the Low album, Sound and Vision. And welcome back to Ever Beyond with JP. I'm currently speaking with Lisa. Where are you from, Lisa?
I live in the United States of America.
Any more specific than that?
I live in Missouri.
Missouri. Yes, indeed. Missouri. Deep in the heart. Deep in the heart. So...
No, JP, that's Texas.
Isn't Kansas City in the heart of America?
Well, that's very close to me.
Uh-huh. Well, Rebecca says she's from the heart of America, so... Anyhow.
It's the heartland, they call it.
Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, let's... it's like I was talking to Bonnie, it suddenly turned into Bowie. Huh. All right. Uh-huh. Lyra saying, dreamed of Bowie last night. He told me he had liver cancer from an acidic diet. It was like I was talking to my hubby, and then suddenly he turned into Bowie. Awesome. Well, yeah, this is the weird thing about the whole Bowie phenomenon. I'll talk about this in a little while. But meanwhile, back in Lisa's dream, you beat somebody up. Because, I mean, first of all, how did you get hold of them? They'd driven off. How did you get back to them?
I don't know. I don't know how I found. Don't know how I found them or anything.
Okay, so they just kind of you just found them, and here's the thing. All right, so this woman, did you ask her first? Give me my oxygen, or did you say, can I have my? Was there an escalation, or was there like? How was your approach to her?
There was nothing. I just knew that when I looked out there and saw that she was gone, that my oxygen was gone, then, you know, that was my lifeline, and it was gone.
Okay,
and
so stop there. Okay, so, okay. Again, take a deep breath into this moment, because this is a really key moment. Okay, because what my oxygen is gone means is what?
Well, can't live any longer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't live any longer, then what? At that moment, you had a thought that there is something that you won't be able to do because you won't be able to live any longer. What was that thought? Take your time and breathe right into that.
Gosh, I don't know. All I'm getting is a headache. I don't know what it meant.
Keep breathing into it again. Take another really... I know it's hard for you to breathe, but try and put as much oxygen into that feeling as possible. It's the only way it'll loosen up. There's a message in here for you. And yeah, it might give you a headache because it's resistant, because it's true. Your oxygen is gone, like a spaceman. What's your feeling?
honest.
Well, obviously, that I would die without it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but there's a feeling about what happens if you die. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to die, and then you don't think of anything else. There's other things that you think of if you think you're going to die. You think of your family, you think of this and that. You know, you think of the people that you've never said goodbye to. You think of the people that you regret doing things. You know, things happen, things flash. And in that feeling, because it's a feeling.
I think it was more of a mere survival thing. You know,
Okay, so a survival thing. So why would you want to survive?
Well,
what keeps you going?
Well, I want to attend my daughter's wedding in April.
Was that part of it? Was that in the dream? Was that in the film? No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, there was really, it's all kind of, like I said, it was all just mixed together right there at the end, and I just didn't know what it all meant. And why I was just floored over the fact that I had to physically fight this woman to get my oxygen back. So whether that means get my actual physical source of oxygen or
you had to struggle to live.
My ability to breathe, yeah.
You have to struggle to live.
That's what occurred to me,
yeah.
Okay? Maybe I was going, and I chose to stay alive.
Okay, so who's the woman? So who's the woman?
That's probably part of me.
Okay, so can we talk to her?
I don't know. I felt really bad for hurting the gal because I mean, but I don't remember actually doing it. But I know that I had to.
I mean, how badly did you have to hurt her? Did you have to kill her?
Did you
knock her down, punch her?
Yeah, and I think I left her on the ground. And that's about all I can really. Just knowing that I succeeded. I mean, I got my oxygen back. So in other words, I was able to live. So she was trying to take my life, and I had that little bit of that feeling last night. Whoever this person, and I think this person that I embraced last night in that dream was male. I'm not positive, but I think it was a male, and it was very dark in there. Like I said, it was like, and I couldn't see the person. But
no, it's in a place where you only feel. You see, you have to understand that dreams are not about what you see, but what you feel.
Right. So there was something dark about it because it was.
When you say something dark, do you mean menacing?
Well, I don't know, because I didn't have that kind of feeling. You know, I wasn't scared, or it wasn't like it was evil, or...
What was the feeling?
Anything. Well, sort of a camaraderie. Sort of, they knew. I told them I didn't have much time, and they knew, and they were probably consoling me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think was kind of the way it was.
Okay, so in both of these things, you're struggling. In the first one, you're struggling, Vanessa's saying, I agree. It was telling her that you had to fight to survive, and since you did, you did survive, even though you had to do something that you've never done before.
Uh-huh.
Which might be a clue, Lisa. Even though you had to do something that you've never done before, you survived. So perhaps it's about taking a less defensive attitude in your life about needing and needing and needing, and seeing what you can create for yourself.
About being what, did you say?
About being defensive. Living life as a defense. Feeling like you're always under attack and, you know, that life is always doing stuff to you. You know, if you can make one victory, then you can make a victory every day. Just make your victories little. You know, give yourself really kind of low standards for the beginning. The mistake people have is they think, I'm going to be perfect tomorrow because I've chosen to. Yeah, well, the reason that you are the way you are has taken years to get you there. It's not going to fix itself straight away because you got to unbutton all of the programming and all of the I've been trained and I've been conditioned to's, and learn to live for yourself. Learn to breathe unaided. You know, if you're living on bottled oxygen, Lisa, then you're reliant, aren't you?
Yes, and I mean, as a matter of fact, if I'm just sitting still in a chair, I can go without it for a little bit. It's not like, I'm gonna, you know, kick over if I don't have it on while I'm sitting in the chair. But, as a matter of fact, I turned it off right while we were on the break just because, I know it makes noise and I wanted to see, I wanted to do this without having it on. And.
Okay, are you managing to breathe unaided?
Yeah, sure, mm-hmm. It's not like I'm addicted to it or, you know, people say that's not true. I mean, but yeah, most of the time almost 24/7, I use it, but I don't, you know, I'm just sitting here right now without it on and I just wanted to see how it went, and just because I was doing this and I wanted to do it without counting on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing, right? So you're now in the position of your dream body standing outside the door seeing the car is gone, aren't you? You're in that position. How are you feeling? Are you comfortable being there now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm back in that same exact situation, but I can see the scene, and I don't, there's no anxiety or it's okay.
Okay, so it may be possible that you could rewrite the dream so that you had less of a less of a shock on yourself. So the question is, what is the dispute about? Why is she withholding the oxygen? Or was it just an accident? Did she just have to move the car because there was, you know, while you were in there, some lorry was in the way or something. You know.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know, the more I think about it, though, it seems like it was probably just, a part of me that, maybe a part of me that was trying to give up. And another part of me said, oh, hell no, not going to happen.
Well, there you go.
Okay,
good. That's very good. So
I'm thinking.
So her message, this other woman, is
But the thing is, you were relying on this other woman for a lift.
Yes.
So, you still have a relationship with this being. Do you see? So it's not about defeating her. It's about learning to work with her.
Uh-huh.
Do you see the difference? You see, and, you know, Western medicine and doctors, they're all about war. Oh, war on cancer, yeah. War on this, war on that. Yeah?
Yeah, and I'm very against all of that. I'm very anti-establishment, anti-medicine for sure.
Yeah, except you're still reliant on bottled oxygen, who are produced American Oxygen or whatever they are. Yes.
Well, no, I don't use bottles, actually. It's a concentrator, and it's just pulling in. It uses the room air.
All right.
You know,
is it?
Yeah.
All right. So it's got you don't have to like rely on a constant, new bottles.
No, it's plugged in to the wall, and it makes its own. It pulls in the room air, throws off the nitrogen, and turns it into oxygen. Boom.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, something of that machine is outside of you.
Yes. So, sometimes I think it's all a farce, you know, Yeah, well, I was just starting to say maybe I should just take it off and let it go, but then I am going to die, probably. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take, but...
Maybe it won't happen.
You're exactly right. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. And, you know, who knows what, I guess... Maybe that's what I'm trying to tell...
Or you could find out ways of oxygenating your body, or find out what's causing your body not to oxygenate properly with regular breathing?
Well, honestly, no. I really don't know the true reason. So, yes, my lungs are bad. I don't smoke anymore, but I smoked all my life. I smoked for 42 years or something like that. But my lungs are bad. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. There must be
Oh, dear. You know, it sounds like you just got a lot of stuff to hock up.
Yeah.
It's pretty sludgy, but there are ways of doing it. There are ways of making it less tarry and bringing it up little bit by little bit, loosening it up. And, but, you know, that's a proactive choice.
True.
That's and I can't say you go and make that choice, because then it wouldn't be your choice, would it? But it's a proactive choice to see yourself as beleaguered by a disease, or to understand that the disease is a conversation that you're having with the other half of yourself.
Right. Yeah, I'll go with that.
And so... let's have a look at the woman in the car. Just sit yourself now in the car. Before everything happened, the woman, you were comfortable, you were trusting her. Can you look up from the... you're in the back seat or in the front seat?
I don't even know. You know, in fact...
Okay, just relax. Just breathe into it and ask, you know, just ask yourself, was I in the front seat or the back seat? Just ask.
I think the front seat.
Okay, so now, if you weren't driving, you would be looking to... where are you in America? We look on that side. So, yeah. So, look to your left.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see?
Just make it up. Just pretend.
I guess it's just somebody behind the wheel.
Okay. Somebody? Male? Female? Just relax. Just allow yourself to make it up. Just pretend.
I think it's a woman.
Okay. What color do you see predominantly? Or colors?
Yellow.
Mm-hmm. Is it a pattern or is it plain?
Solid.
Solid yellow. In a yellow dress. And what's the feeling that you have right now about this woman in the yellow dress? Again, try to breathe into the feeling. That's how you find out for feelings. You breathe into it.
Anxiety, maybe.
Okay, why would you be anxious? Just make it up, because the answers always come out. I know they come out, and I say them, and I know that they come out. So try and reflect them before thinking, and, oh, no, I couldn't possibly say that.
Well, the first thing I thought before the anxiety was brightness. That's not a feeling, but it was like a...
Brightness?
Mm-hmm.
Like too bright?
Possibly.
Too bright to look at?
I've certainly had those problems before, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you mean that you've had problems like that?
Well, I had a dream when I was small, I think, and it was like I was in this little sort of a underground hovel, but like a small home, and I think I was a small child, and someone like opened the door, which would have been, you know, kind of up above, so you would have to like come downstairs to get in there,
mm-hmm.
and it was so bright I couldn't. I just couldn't hold my eyes open. But I've had a lot of those where, over the years, where things are just so bright, you know, you can't open your eyes.
All right.
So I'm not sure what that's all about.
Okay. All right, so take a couple of deep breaths. That was really good. Thank you. Just let yourself relax on that. Yeah. So when you hear or when you see that brightness or feel that brightness and you're taken back to that place when you were little, can you describe your surroundings? What can you look at your feet?
I think I'm sitting on, and I'm just remembering this, I think I'm sitting on like sort of like a stool that's up off the floor, you know, just like a four-legged stool type thing.
Four-legged stool. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so your legs are swinging, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you wearing a dress? Are you wearing a dress or dungarees or what are you wearing?
No. I think I'm a little boy. I don't know, but.
All right. Okay. So you're a little boy, and there's this. Okay. So you're in the corner of the room, and what's your feeling? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you lonely? Are you feeling a sense of camaraderie, family?
No, nothing like that. And I'm not in the corner. I'm sort of sitting up to a table, I think, and I just see that the door come open, which is up to my left, and I just, it's just too bright.
And what else happens? What happens after the door opens? Can you hear anything? Are there any sounds that you're aware of? Just remain there. Just keep breathe as deeply as you can. That'll help move these feelings through. Because every time you feel one, as soon as you recognize and acknowledge a feeling, then that allows the one behind it to then speak to you. And this is an ongoing conversation until you get back to the part of you that you've left behind there. So you're sitting in a chair, you're sitting at a table, are you eating?
No.
Can you see what's in front of you?
I think it's just like one room. And now I don't know. I just had the.
Just say it.
I just had the feeling that someone came down, you know, and took me. But I.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Just be calm. These are the little hidden things that this conversation is taking us to. Okay. So one step at a time. So you had a feeling that there was somebody who came down the stairs, yeah? Was it a stepladder or a staircase?
No, it's not a staircase.
So they came down backwards, like a vertical ladder?
Probably, yeah, more like a ladder.
Uh-huh. Was it made of wood or metal?
Wood.
Wood. Uh-huh. And this person who came down the ship, or came down the came down the ladder. Was it male or female?
I don't know.
Okay, just relax into it. So a door opened and there was a lot of bright light that came down from the door, yeah?
Well, the light didn't actually come into the room. It was right at the doorway and it was just so bright that I had to just close my eyes and I would try to open my eyes, but I couldn't because it was just too bright.
Did it hurt?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, since we're in a dream, right, and we're talking about a dream and a sort of a mental state, you can, you know, change the parameters of these things, you know that, if you kind of go back to them like this. And so, for instance, it's possible for you, in your mind, to turn the brightness down of that doorway. Can you see if you can do that? You might even be able to reach out and kind of create an imaginary control in the air and just tweak it. See if you can do that. Does that work?
All I'm getting is the word brown.
Brown. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Brown. Next. What's the next word?
Just let it come. They sometimes give you one word at a time so that it gets around your conscious mind, which just doesn't want to hear the truth. So you have to kind of allow it. This is, you know, this is a pure exercise in intuition. After brown, what next?
Down.
Then?
Now.
Just let the words come. Try and breathe as deeply as you can. You could say one breath for one word.
Wind.
Try not to think
maybe
about it.
Maybe I died.
How did you die?
I don't know.
Could it relate to being suffocated in some way, or lacking oxygen in some way?
Well, funny you say that.
Funny you should say that. Go ahead.
I kind of thought it might have had something to do with that. Like I couldn't breathe.
So, just allow yourself to breathe.
Yeah, so now I know. I must have been dying, and the bright light must have come when I was dying. That must have been. It was. Which doesn't make a lot of sense, but.
Do you feel any numbness in your body?
No, but I feel a little bit kind of nauseated, not really.
Nauseated, good. Nauseated is a good one, okay. Okay, so just take your time. Again, take in another deep breath, slowly through your nose, if you can, into that nausea, into that place.
Yeah, it's in my stomach.
And just ask it, what are you sick of?
Ask it what?
Ask that feeling. Did you get any pictures from that, or words?
Just that. No, I just have a bad feeling in my. It's kind of in my stomach, a place where I quite often get a pain sometimes.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so let's go into that place. Touch it with your hand, please.
I already am.
Where is it exactly? Describe relative to your navel, for instance.
No, it's just under. No, it's under my left breath, like kind of over my rib cage.
Just at the bottom of your rib cage, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So that's not usually a place where, you know, there's that's interesting. Yeah. So let's look at that feeling there. Because here's a place, okay, and you say you've experienced the feeling in this place for a long time. While we're here, let's look at the first time you've ever felt that feeling in that place. You can even ask it, when did I first feel it? And it'll tell you, it'll show you a picture.
That day.
That day. Tell me about that day.
Since I've put my hand on there, it's sort of subsiding.
Good. Good.
So, that's good thing.
That's because you can heal naturally with your hand. But it's still a conversation. It's drawing your attention. Do you remember we were talking about intuition? It draws your attention to this place. This place is significant to you. Specifically you. That's your specific place. And there's a point of origin. There's a time when that feeling first happened. Can you remember that?
Well, that was another lifetime.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell us about the other lifetime.
It's the one where I'm sitting on the stool in that little hovel.
So what happens?
Well, I think I was alone in that place. And I was small. So, maybe I was hungry, maybe I died of starvation. Maybe that's what that. Because I don't think there was no one else in that room with me. I was in there alone.
And then suddenly you saw the bright.
Uh-huh.
The first thing I'd say is...
Is what?
Is to give the... To hold that child, if you can. Can you hold that child?
Uh-huh.
Can you give it a hug?
Uh-huh.
How's it feel? Keep breathing. That's what keeps the whole cycle going.
all good now.
Take a deep breath. Is it still hard to breathe?
Well, I can breathe.
Is there a story that the child has given you? Did you get some insights into it?
I think somehow that the parents or the child's family died or something, and it was left there alone, and I think it had nothing to eat and no one to care for it, and it just died.
Do you want to tell the little child? Just repeat after me, okay? I love you.
I love you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't know we were going to go down that road, JP.
No. Who knows where you goes?
It was that, meanwhile, back at the OK Corral little ditty that you played. Yeah. See? That's what made it happen.
Always works every time, you know. I love that thing. It's my favorite. It's my favorite jingle. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that was quite interesting. You know, I have regressed many other people, but I, because I do the Dolores Cannon thing, but I've never had, and that wasn't really, I wouldn't really call that a regression. However, it was very similar. So thank you. That was quite cool. And I find that quite interesting. So that tells me now all those times where I've had that thing where it's so bright I can't open my eyes, that must be at the moment of death, I guess.
So is there a sort of sense of fearing death?
Probably.
And is there a lesson somewhere in all of this? Is that death is just like going up a ladder? No different.
Right.
You know, no reason to be afeard of it. And some of our greatest people have just taken that walk up that ladder. So if you do have to take that walk up that ladder, it'll come in its time. When your business is finished here, that's when it happens.
Uh-huh.
So walk with pride and be proactive every moment. Say you only had 10 days to live, all right?
Right.
Just, what would you do? What would you use those 10 precious days? Would you sleep? Would you watch telly?
No.
Would you telephone every person that you had in your telephone book and tell them that you love them?
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you do that every day anyway?
Right.
That's the story. That's the lesson.
Right. The lesson. Mm-hmm.
It's like,
so,
okay, so you could die tomorrow, or you could die in 10 years' time, or 20 years' time, or 30 years' time. It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
Live each day like it's your last. That's your lesson. Don't take anything for granted. Don't be so unimpressed. You know? It's very tempting to be, oh yeah, I've seen this before. And
but it's somebody else taking a new impression. Oh, I've heard this song before. Somebody else sang it. Yeah, but it's their version of it. Yeah, but I've heard the song before, so why bother? Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Every day is a fresh expression of the soul. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand where I'm going with this?
Oh yeah, and you're exactly right. You are exactly right. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that we had this fabulous therapy session, because of course I was gonna, when I called, I wanted to talk about that dream and things, and then I was gonna tell you, oh, I never got to have my rage read, and now it's too late. Because the first time I ever called you, it was like, you know, right at the end of the show, and it was just a real quirky little thing. And but no, yeah, I get what you're saying. We all, you know, wouldn't it be great if we all really did the things that really mattered and had enough wherewithal to tell ourselves, yeah, you know, tell the people you love them, and I try to do that. You know, I think a lot of people do to a certain extent, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And you're right. If I died tomorrow, would I have told everybody everything I wanted to say? No, probably not. Probably not. So better get after it.
So yeah, get after it.
Yeah, because after that dream last night, I felt that it was a sort of a wake up call, and I was going to have to get after it. So. That's a very, very good point. So. You're quite good at that, and you have a really great voice, JP. You have a very soothing, I don't know, but the.
A very soothing and very, very expensive microphone.
Yeah,
very, very
exactly.
Expensive microphone. That's the difference. This is why when people talk on the proper radio, they sound amazing. Yeah? Because they have a condenser radio microphone.
It's all in the microphone there.
And you go right up close to it, just like whispering in somebody's ear, you see.
Yeah.
And then it sounds great, and it's like, oh. I can hear his tonsils vibrating. No, I can hear his heartbeat pulsating his diaphragm as he speaks. You know, it's like,
well, I don't know. We can hear you sip your tea, but that's about as far as
Yeah, I don't go that close. Anyway. So anyway, yeah, so basically that's it. It's I have a rather sort of nasally tone that somehow gets eliminated by the sun. Anyway.
Go ahead. Toot your own horn there a little bit.
Yeah, I do like to promote myself. Listen, we gotta go. It's the end of Ever Beyond. Thank you for accompanying me on a journey to
the other side.
To the other side and back. And you know, up and down the ladder, all right? If you have to go, just enjoy the climb.
That was fun very much, and I enjoyed it, and I thank you much.
Thank you. God bless you. Good night.
Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Beyond.